today is going to be fun. Get Moving is a series we started last week. It's our on and only bi-locational series. We're doing it here and at the middle school. 2 weeks here, 2 weeks at the middle school. As I said earlier, we are moving. If you had missed that, don't show up here next week. You will be so sad. Let you come to a movie. But see, we're moving into the middle school, but the other reason we named the series Get Moving is because what we said there in the bumper, we really do believe. We believe that we are right on the edge, right on the verge of a move of God, just pouring out of Himself that most of us have never experienced. We really believe that. If you've been around here for a while, you remember when this service used to have 5 people in it, and it was awful. I mean, the size of our church has doubled since August. And it's like I told you guys last week, God's doing crazy, crazy things. And so what we've done last week and this week is we're looking backwards, we're pausing, we're reflecting on what God's done. Because as I read the Bible, every single time God asks His people to take a big step forward, to do something mighty for Him, He always said, now before we go, we're going to pause and we're going to reflect. And I'm going to spend some time reminding you of everything I've done for you in the past, so that as we take this next step, if you're scared or if things don't always work out immediately, you can always trust, hey, wait a minute, this is God. He has never let me down before, and He's not going to let me down now. So that's what we did. Last week, I told you the story of Wellspring, how we came to be, how I moved here, how Eric and TJ both quit well-paying jobs to move here for nothing, all because they believed that God wanted to do something crazy in Myrtle Beach. Told you the story about how God's provided, how He's provided for the move. And I told you all that because you need to know where we've been. You need to know where Wellspring has been, so that as we take the next step, it's easier to trust and believe. All right, man, God's never let us down before. He's not going to start now. And today what we're going to do is we're going to pause and we're going to have the ultimate reflection. We're going to take communion together. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. But we're going to take communion today. And then, as we move into the school for the next 2 weeks, we're going to look forward. And I'm going to share with you what's on my heart. Two specific areas that I believe we as a church need to up our game, take it to the next level. And the cool thing is, there are areas where you guys are already knocking it out of the park. All right, I just want you to quit hitting doubles and let's hit some home runs. I mean, seriously, you guys are doing very well. But I believe if we want to experience the move of God like we can't imagine, these are two areas we're going to have to step up on. We're going to do that for the next 2 weeks in the school. And then April 24th, Easter Sunday, is we're going to be our grand opening. We're going to invite the world, and we're going to begin to see what God wants to do next. So that's what we're doing today. But before we get to the communion thing, I want to read you one verse from Deuteronomy. If you remember last week, I told you, Deuteronomy is the 5th book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. What Deuteronomy is it's a series of speeches given by Moses, who was the leader of the nation of Israel. They were about to enter the promised land. They were about to set foot into to what God had been promising them for generations and generations. And before they took this next step forward, Moses said, we're going to pause. Before we take the step forward, I want to remind you of all that God has done. Here's what he says in chapter 4, verse 9. He says this. He says, be careful never to forget what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live. See, if we want to be sure that God's going to show up in the future, we've got to spend time remembering what He's done in the past. That's why Moses told the nation of Israel, see, they actually had to cross what's called the Jordan River to get into the promised land. And what Moses told them to do is, as you cross, I want you to set up markers. I want you to set up stones that for generation after generation, when your grandchildren's grandchildren ask, hey, what are those stones there for? Why are they there? You'll remember and you'll be able to say, that's because God came through on His promise. And that's there to remind us. Every time we see it, we're reminded God came through on His promise. So before we take communion, before we remember together, I want to encourage you. And some of you, this is your first day here. And so this is going to be a little difficult for you to do. You don't probably have a favorite memory yet. All right? I say yet, because stay here long enough, you'll get one. But what I want you to do is I want you to stop for a minute and just reflect. If you need to close your eyes, that's fine. But I want you to just think about how long you've been at Wellspring. Whatever, if it's 2 weeks or if it's 2 months, or some of you, it's 2 years. Some of you were actually in my house, not many of you. We only started with 12 people, so can't many of you say you were there. But I want you to think back to how you've seen God provide, what you've seen God do. I don't know if you have a favorite, but you probably have some of how you've seen God move in some way. Maybe it's you've seen your marriage get better. It's as simple as that. Your husband who said he'd never come to church now shows up. And maybe he's even serving. Maybe you got baptized here. Maybe you gave your life to Christ here. I don't know what it is. Maybe it was seeing God move in a friend that you've been praying for. I don't know what it is, but I encourage you to take a moment and think about it. What have you seen God do? And maybe if you're new to Wellspring, that's fine. What have you seen God do in your life? Pause. Think about it. Remember how it felt. Remember how sure you were in that moment. Oh, God's real. God's real, and he's going to see me through whatever happens next. See, that's why we pause. That's why we remember. Because those moments get us through the times when we're a little more confused. The times when things look a little darker. And I want to talk to those in the room today who have no memories. Those who say, man, I'm here because my girlfriend made me come, or I'm here because my mom made me come, or I'm here because somebody made me come, and I'm just being nice, I'm just going to sit here and be respectful. You know what, man? If you don't believe this stuff, I am thrilled that you're here today. There is no better place for you than right here, right now. Because you are in a place that's going to allow you to have your doubts, have your questions, think we're crazy. That's fine. Just be open to the possibility that we're not. Just watch us. Listen to our story. Check us out. In a moment, we're going to celebrate what God's done. Watch the celebration. Inspect it for yourself. Because the Bible says that every person who follows Christ is Christ's ambassador. And we speak for him. And we plead for God to you when we say, come back to him. So look at us. Check us out. So Wellspring's about. We want you to come in. We want you to belong. Because we believe that if you come here and you just dip your toe in just a little bit, it's only a matter of time. Because the God we serve is real. And he can really change lives. And many of you are evidence of that. You've experienced it. You've seen it happen. You've had friends who've seen it happen. And so I want you to pause. I want you to think about that memory. Just think about it. Think about what God's done. Maybe even say a little prayer. Maybe thank him for what he's done and for what he's going to do. Because what we're going to do today is we're going to celebrate communion. Communion, you may have heard it called the Lord's Supper. It was started by Jesus the night before he was murdered, the night before he died on the cross. He was hanging out with his buddies in a room, 12 of them, one of whom he knew would betray him, but he still hung out. That's a message for a whole other day. I'm not preaching that one today. But Jesus still loved him too, and he hung out with these 12 guys, and he knew what was coming. He knew it's about to get crazy. They're going to see me arrested. They're going to see me beaten. They're going to see me bruised. They're going to see me nailed to a tree. And they are going to be terrified. They are not going to want to, going to know what to do. And so I got to prepare them. And what he did is he had this meal. It's called the Lord's Supper. And what he said is, he said, as I do this, I want you to later, when I'm gone, they had no clue what he was talking about. But he said, when I'm gone, I want you to do this to remember me. And remember this night. This is exactly what he said in 1 Corinthians 11. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. Now, can you imagine those guys sitting there? And Jesus breaks some bread. Jesus has the bread right here. And they're hanging out having a good time. And he gets kind of serious and he says, just as this bread has been broken, so will my body be broken. And I want you to eat this right now. And then I want you to do this to remember me. And they're like, what? What is he talking about? Remember him. Then he gets out the wine and he pours it out. He says, in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people. An agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. So he gets out the wine, hands it out, says, drink this. This is my blood. It's a new covenant. All of covenant means, like the Bible says, a covenant is a new agreement. It's a new setup between us and God. And he said, the setup is made possible because of this right here. Because of my blood, which was poured out. Again, no idea what he was talking about. They didn't know what was going on. They're just sitting there rocking and rolling, saying, okay. And then he says this, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. And they did that. They said a prayer, and Jesus walked to his death. They walked through some gardens. He went and prayed. A couple hours later, the Roman soldiers showed up, and you probably have heard the rest of the story. And then Sunday morning, he woke up, and everything changed. And now, almost 2,000 years later, you and I still get to take part in the ceremony Jesus himself instituted with his 12 best friends almost 2,000 years ago. Only we actually know what it means. We know why we're doing it. We know that this body, this bread, represents the body that Jesus gave and was beaten and bruised for us. We know that this cup symbolizes the blood that made the covenant possible. See, here's what that means. Let me explain it to you, especially for those of you who this may be your first time. See, you and I had sinned. We were dirty. We had gone away from God. We had stepping outside of what he wanted. And God is perfect. And perfection can't even look at one sin, much less as many as I commit on a daily basis. And there was nothing we could do about it. We couldn't fix it. We were broken. God was perfect, and we couldn't get back to him. The only way to fix it, because he was a just God, our mistakes and sin demanded punishment. They really demanded annihilation. But he didn't want to do that because he loved us. He wanted to hang out with us. So what he did is he sent his son to live on earth 33 years, to go through every temptation we go through, to walk in our steps, and to never sin one time, to never step outside of God's will one time. So that when he died on the cross, his blood, because it was perfect, because it was holy, because it was sinless, it could pay the price for every mistake you and I have ever made. Hear that again. Every mistake you and I have ever made, every mistake ever committed, every sin ever, all put on Jesus Christ on the cross. If you ever read the Old Testament, you know God used to be a God of wrath, man. He used to open up the ground and swallow folks. All right? But on the cross that day, God took his wrath, his anger, for every mistake you and I will ever make, ever, and punished Jesus for it. That means he doesn't send storms anymore to punish us. He doesn't send earthquakes to punish us. We were punished on the cross through Jesus. But see, that blood makes it possible for us now to walk in freedom to say, I'm not going to be punished. I can actually have a relationship with God. I can live the life he wants me to live. That's why we celebrate this. So as we get ready to take this communion, as we get ready to remember and to celebrate what God's done, I just want to say one more thing to the guests in the room today, specifically to those of you in the room who are here and you don't believe in God. You would say, I don't believe this is true. I'm here to be nice, but I don't believe you. I don't believe Jesus did that. I don't believe he lived. Again, I've already told you, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome. Please make yourself at home. But I will tell you this. We take this very seriously. And we believe that the only people who take communion, who participate in this, believe while we're doing it. And so here's what I would invite you to do, okay? You can still, when we get up in a minute, you can get up, you can walk around with us. Just nobody's going to look at you. Just don't take it. But here's what I challenge you to do. Here's what I do challenge you to do. Watch everybody else take it. Look at them. Look at their face. Look at what's going on. And then just ask yourself this one question. Is it possible that I'm wrong and they're right? Is it possible? That's all you got to do. Is it possible? That's all I want today. I don't want it is. I just want to know, can you be willing to say, it's possible that this is real? That's my challenge to you today. And so as we get ready to celebrate communion and do this, what we're going to do is we're going to release you by rows just to make it a little easier for you. And what I want you to do, because we've had some confusion, go get your bread, get your cup, and then come back and sit down. And then I will tell you when to take it, okay? okay? We'll all take it together. I'll pray, and we'll all take it together. Eric, which side are you going to start on? You going to be over there? Okay, Eric is going to come to your row, and when he does, your row and your row only stand up. You're going to exit that way, I guess. You're going to exit that way. Go get your stuff, and then come back in that way. It'll be very orderly and very nice, because disorder makes me nervous. So I'm going to pray over you guys, and then we're gonna go get your cup and your juice, and then we'll come back and I'll lead you through communion. And then we're going to sing some songs and just praise the thing we're remembering right now, right? Father God, I just pray that you be with us in this moment as we remember, as we celebrate what you've done. In your name we pray. Take yourself back with me. Take yourself back to that night, sitting in that room, Jesus and his 12 friends enjoying a meal. Because it actually happened, folks. It's real. Take yourself back. As he sits there and he passes the bread, and he says, he takes it and he breaks it, and he says, "This is my body, which was given for you." It really was. So join me and let's remember. And Jesus said, "Take, eat. Do this in remembrance of me." And then when they were done, he passed the wine and said, "This is my blood, which was poured out for each and every one of you. As often as you take it, remember what I did. Remember the gift that was given to you and the gift that we have been charged to carry to the entire world. Do this in remembrance of Jesus." And after they had taken the cup and the wine, they prayed. So let me pray over you now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment we get to stop and reflect on what you've done. We get to reflect on the amazing sacrifice you paid for us. Because, Father, if we forget this, nothing else matters. So, Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done, what you're going to continue to do. We thank you that you loved us enough to come here and pay the price for our sin. So in your name we pray. Amen. And now, I don't know about you, but whenever I really stop, and when I really think about what Jesus did for me, I want to sing and shout. I want to jump up and down. I want to high five people. I want to say, "Can you believe this is real? Can you believe this happened? Can you believe we get the privilege of telling people about this?" So what I want to invite you to do now is join us. We're going to sing, and we're going to celebrate, and we're going to rejoice. And I pray that as you do it, you remember there may be some in this room that don't believe. And how we rejoice and how we celebrate what God's done may be what leads them to believing. I don't mean to be manipulative. I'm not trying to tell you to do anything you don't want to do. I'm just reminding you. The Bible says we are Christ's ambassadors. We speak for him and we plead, "Come back to God." You're an ambassador whether you want to be or not. So let's just be a good one. We've got this amazing gift. Our lives have been transformed. Let's show everybody. So join us together as we're gonna sing and we are going to celebrate and we are going to praise God for what he's done for us.